"Request permission to speak, sir." I think I'd never before heard his voice. The captain turned slightly, glowered at the man, but nodded.
"Captain Jaggery, sir," Morgan called out. "Nowhere is it written that a captain can require a man to work more than one watch. Only in an emergency."
The captain gazed at Morgan for a moment. Then he said,
"Very well, Mr. Morgan. Then I do say it. This is an emergency. If these orders cause inconvenience, blame it on your darling Mr. Krennic, or the impertinence of Mr. Zachariah. And if you still have so much pity on these fools, you can work the extra shift yourself."
So saying, he turned to Mr. Hollabrass.
"Set the second watch to scrape the bow until a wind comes up. Dismiss the rest," he barked.
Mr. Hollabrass turned to the crew and repeated the captain's commands. Without a word, the men backed off, some shuffling to the bow to work, the others ducking below into the forecastle. All that remained on deck was the stain of Krennic's blood. Uncertainly, I made my way to the galley. Fisk was already there, his great bulk filling the small space as Zachariah never had. I stood just beyond the entryway, hoping he would notice me. When he didn't, I whispered, "Mr. Fisk." He turned, but offered nothing more than a hostile glare. "What did the captain mean?" I asked, my voice small. Fisk continued to stare bleakly at me. "Tell me," I pleaded. "I have to know."
"The crew was short to begin with," he said. "Now he's insulted me. Advanced Johnson, dumped Keach. All in all, it leaves us shorter than before. The captain intends to work us till we drop."
Can I help in any way?"
"You?"
Fisk said with incredulous scorn. He turned away. "Mr. Fisk, you must believe me. I want to help."
"You are the lady passenger, Miss Doyle. The informer."
My tears began to fall again. "I had no idea." Now angry, he swung about.
"I find Miss Doyle mistaken. You did have an idea. You had it from Zachariah. I know you did. He told us he tried to convince you. 'Oh, Miss Doyle believes in honor,' he'd say. 'She's the very soul of justice.'"
Fisk spat on the floor.
"Honor? What you mean to say, Miss Doyle, is that you didn't choose to heed his words because Zachariah was an old black who lacked the captain's graces."
I bowed my head.
"Can you cook?" he growled. "Reef sails? Turn the wheel?" "I think not, miss. So you'd do best keeping the place you have. When you reach Providence, you can walk off free, and I warrant you'll think no more on us."
"That's not true."
"Go to the captain, Miss Doyle. He's your darling master."
"Mr. Fisk," I begged, my voice as small as my pride, "the captain will have nothing to do with me."
"No, he'll not forgive you so soon. Beware your friend, Miss Doyle. Beware him."
"I didn't mean..." He cut me off abruptly.
"Gentle folk like you never mean, Miss Doyle. But what you do..."
I could not bear it any more. I retreated to my cabin. Once again, I gave myself up to guilt and remorse. That night I remained in my cabin. I couldn't eat. Now and again I slept, but never for long. There were times I fell on my knees to pray for forgiveness, but it was from the crew as much as God that I sought pardon. If only I could make restitution. If only I could convince the men that I accepted my responsibility.